At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Caroline Fenton dropping by at 7 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on all things college football, including very interesting matchup between Tennessee and LSU coming up this weekend as well, which she'll be live and in person for. So looking forward to that coming up at 7 o'clock. Maybe the MVP of the entire city, Mike Organ, coming up at 8 o'clock as well. Looking forward to that. Getting his thoughts on the Titans and their big win in Indianapolis. Joe Rex Road, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning. Let's see if this Wi-Fi is not a problem. It is so far, so get ready for some robo.
We'll see what happens. Michelle, good morning to you. How are you?
Doing well, but I do need to congratulate Joe. He absolutely crushed me in fantasy this week and ruined my 3-0 start.
Oh, boy.
So congratulations, Rex Road.
You know, I didn't want to brag or anything about it, but now that you mentioned it, that was quite a ripping victory. Thank you.
I was like, you have got to be kidding me. The week I lose and a 30 points by Rex Road.
Nice win by Joe. I will say the defending champ of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League in a little bit of trouble. My team's not very good. So we'll see what happens. See if we can rebound.
1-3?
Yeah. We can see if we can rebound as the season goes on. But not very good thus far. Thanks to our friends at Third and Home for putting this Fantasy Football League on. Germantown's bar with a ballpark. But not going great for Robbie so far. So we'll see what happens on that front. Joe, a little preseason hockey yesterday over in Bern, Switzerland, and one of the preseason games, the few preseason games that Predators fans had an opportunity to watch on TV had they chose to. And I got to say, it was pretty fun to watch that over there. Obviously, the headliner was Roman Josi and Nino Niederreiter playing back in Switzerland, and in Roman Josi's case, against his former team in SC Bern. But it was a really cool environment. They had 17,000 people there for the game. It was kind of like a European soccer crowd chanting the whole time. It was pretty awesome to watch the game yesterday between the Predators and SC Bern. Not that the result in the preseason game matters a ton, but the Predators did win 4-3 yesterday. Roman Josi with two goals, Philip Forsberg with one, and Matt Duchene with one as well. So the usual suspects scoring for the Predators, but just a really cool day, really cool environment over there in Switzerland.
Yeah, it's cool that they were able to do that. And, obviously Josi first star, trying to get a hat trick, but very gratifying for the home in the preseason. Does that matter? Does that matter at all? They've been scoring a lot of goals.
They have been scoring a lot of goals. That's a good thing heading into the season. It starts for real coming up on Friday in Prague and on Saturday as well. Back-to-back Friday, Saturday in Prague against the San Jose Sharks. Some interesting kind of lineup notes that I had just kind of watching it yesterday. You know, again, it's not the real thing. So, you know, UC Saros wasn't playing yesterday. I think there's probably a pretty good chance that he'll get both Friday and Saturday coming up against the Sharks to begin the season when things count for real here. But Kiefer Sherwood on that quote-unquote second line with Ryan Johansson and Nino Niederreiter. I know they've still got some spots that they're taking a look at. You know, they've moved Cody Glass around a little bit as well, and they've got 27 guys over there with them in Europe right now. When they come back here to Nashville, they'll have to cut it down to 23. So there's still some moves that are going to have to be made. But I have found it interesting, Joe, the last couple of times out for the Predators, Philip Tomasino has not been out there with Niederreiter and Ryan Johansson. And I do wonder, as they move forward here, are they going to revisit that at some point this season, early in the season? Are they just kind of mixing and matching right now? But it has been interesting that they seem to have moved away for the time being from Philip Tomasino on that second line. And I wonder, when things get going for real coming up on Friday, they go back to it? Do they leave it alone for now? That's that last kind of top six spot, at whoever's playing right wing, is going to be pretty interesting for the Predators.
Well, and he didn't play at all yesterday.
He didn't play at all yesterday. Right? Yeah.
So is he banged up?
Could be. I don't know.
I mean, that's weird, you know, that he wouldn't be in there at all. I mean, I guess I've kind of read that, like, yeah, maybe it's a little bit of, you know, motivate him, don't just hand him something, right? But maybe it's more than that.
Well, it could be. And he could be dealing with an injury or bump and bruise this time of year. We've talked about it with that spot this year. If it's Philip Tomasino, that's great. I think that works out well. If it's not, and he's not ready to handle that throughout the whole year, what do the Predators do? Do you mix and match? Do you move Tolvanen back up there? Do you take maybe a different approach? I think they've shown over the last year, really, that they have not much interest in breaking up that herd line, deservedly so with how well they've played. I think it's going to be interesting to watch how that plays out as the season begins here. Like, it feels pretty clear to me that going back with Granlund, Forsberg, and Matt Duchene makes a lot of sense. But and I think they want Niederreiter and Johansson together as well, and those two make a lot of sense. But finding that last guy to play with them on a consistent basis is going to be interesting. You saw Ryan McDonagh and Matthias Ekholm paired again together yesterday. Roman Josi was playing with Alex Carrier, and then Dante Fabbro was with Jeremy Lauzon. So I think they've probably kind of settled in on what their defense pairs are going to be, at least to start the year on that front, which I don't think is a huge surprise there with any of those pairings that they've laid out there. And I'll say this as well. You know, we talked about the Kevin Lankinen signing by the Predators in the offseason. I'm not saying he was great yesterday or anything like that, but by and large, throughout camp and in the preseason games thus far, he's looked pretty good. So what does that mean heading into the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the two, right?
For sure.
Hey, you know, teams have their own advanced stats too that go beyond, you know, what we have. So it was a curious signing. The numbers from last year said, "What are you doing?" But he seems to be he seems to be like he might be a solid option this year and an upgrade.
Well, and I don't think there's any question about the fact that the defense that he's playing on now is significantly better than the one he was playing on last year in Chicago. So, you know, how much is that going to help a guy like Kevin Lankinen? We'll see. You know, Ben Vanderklok, I think, does a really good job with the goaltenders that the Predators run through there. So, all in all, I mean, I think there's a lot to feel good about if you're John Hines and the Predators heading into the regular season. It was a quick training camp. I mean, look, at this point, training camp's over. Regular season starts on Friday. So it was a very quick training camp for the Predators, and they had to go basically from 0 to 60 to get ready for it. You know, there are some interesting guys left. Like, I think Cody Glass continues to look pretty good, and not just in terms of, you know, the offensive ability, the vision, all that, but winning those kind of one-on-one battles that it takes to hold on to the puck and have possession that way. I think he's looked pretty good that way. I thought in the game yesterday, Elie Tolvanen looked pretty good. Now, they were back on kind of that international-sized ice yesterday, which was interesting to watch them make that transition. It basically took them an entire period to make a transition to get back on that playing surface. But I thought Tolvanen looked pretty good yesterday for the most part. So, you know, if you can start to get some of these bubble guys and these guys that we're kind of wondering about heading into this year to play at a higher level this year, then all of a sudden you got the makings of a pretty good team. We'll have our our NHL predictions, our predictions for the Predators coming up a little bit later this week as the regular season officially begins. But all in all, I like a lot of things that I've seen from the Predators thus far during camp.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they're going to be a fun team to watch. Seems like Niederreiter, you know, and I know he was also – I mean, they doubled their local excitement alone yesterday, or this, you know, this trip just by signing him. But I mean, it looks like he's going to be, you know, a really good addition, which is no surprise. You know, McDonough, obviously they got a lot of guys who are older. You know, I mean, they are built around a lot of older guys, and so you always there's a bunch of questions out there about this guy and that guy, you know, following up from last season and things like that. And they need like the Tomasino to really emerge, like demand that last spot in the top six and take a big jump as a player. That, to me, you know, they need some of these young guys to emerge. But like you said, I mean, Cody Glass, that seems to be going in a good direction. And if Tolvanen is going in a good direction, then you really may have something. And, you know, what about Fabro? What do you think about Fabro so far?
I think he's looked good. I like that. I like that third pair of he and Lozon. And, you know, maybe a little bit less responsibility is what you need from Dante Fabro. Like, I don't know that Dante Fabro is ever going to be like a bona fide stud in the top six or anything like that, but tell you what, he's a pretty darn good third pair guy right now. Like, I feel great about the third pair with all things being presently constructed. Like, everybody's healthy right now. If he and Lozon are going to be the third pair, I feel pretty good about that. I think you should too if you're John Hines, because, you know, Lozon, I think, is a good third pair guy. I think Dante Fabro is a great third pair guy. Like, he may not be ready or good enough to be like an everyday top four defenseman. I think he's more than ready and good enough to be an everyday, pretty darn good third pair defenseman for this team.
Yeah, I mean, if you have guys like Tolvanen, Fabro, Glass, you know, so they're not what their draft status says they should be, what their development plan says they should be. But if they can settle into, you know, a little bit lesser roles, but do them really well and make you better there than a lot of teams are, then there's a lot of value in that.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans, some news on the injury front yesterday for the Titans as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Any idea how long you'll be without Traylon, and do you have the bodies on the roster to replace him?
We do. You know, I don't know how long he'll be out. We'll continue to evaluate him this week and see where he's at.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday at his Monday press conference. Some news coming out yesterday that apparently Traylon Burks dealing with some turf toe. So it looks like he's going to miss some time with that. So, I mean, Joe, it's not great news for the Titans, but it is better than it could have been. We talked yesterday about, you know, that turf in Indianapolis, and, you know, he gets carted off the field. That's never a great sign when Traylon Burks gets carted off or anybody gets carted off that way. But, you know, turf toe, obviously very painful and can nag at you for a while there, but you're not going to have surgery with turf toe this time around. So I guess some good news, respectively, there from the Titans. That Traylon Burks not having to have anything, you know, significant done to his foot there. But turf toe does not sound fun, and I would be surprised, you know, if Traylon Burks doesn't miss a little bit of time with that.
Yeah, look, it's much better than the where your mind goes in that place in particular, a year after Derrick Henry broke his foot. Like I said, I mean, turf toe can be a long-term thing. It can be a nag at you all year kind of thing, so it's not like it's like, oh, right, great news, Traylon Burks. But sometimes that's one of those that just can be such a wide range of outcomes, and I would definitely, you know, expect him. Now, he wouldn't be surprised if he went on IR, but I definitely wouldn't look for him this week. Then they have the idle week or bye. Or, oh my God, I said or bye.
Yeah, you did.
Totally. Scratch that.
Rex Road.
Oh my gosh.
Took 2 years. He came around.
And then let's see, what's that? What is after the idle or off week, both of which are acceptable? That's the Colts. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be some time, but they will get him back. It was, of course, yesterday also on the IR front. Sounds like Monty Rice could be coming back, which is good for them. You know, although now it's like they have like this whole, like just big pile of linebackers playing well, but no Racy McMath, no Elijah Molden. I mean, if they could pick of the three, they would take either McMath or Molden right now, I'd say, by far, if they had a preference. So there's no telling when those guys will be back.
Yeah, I mean, that is the report yesterday from the Titans. Molden, McMath, not ready to practice this week. Monty Rice is expected to practice this week after missing the first four games on the IR as well. Monty Hooker still currently in concussion protocol as well, so we'll see what happens with Amani Hooker as the week goes on here. But without Treylon Burks in the short term, and now the question becomes, or what do you do with your receiving core as the Titans move forward here? Hopefully a little bit more activity from Kyle Phillips this week as they prepare for the Commanders coming up on Sunday. We talked about it yesterday, kind of a weird game for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. No catches on no targets on Sunday against the Colts, so I would expect him, obviously, to be more involved in terms of targets coming up on Sunday against the Commanders as well. But if Burks isn't going to be there on Sunday, which it's very difficult to imagine that he would be at this point, you know, a little bit different in terms of you don't have that speedster, that threat in the passing game, and probably a different way you're going to have to handle it if you're the Titans. You know, obviously, you know, I think there's a lot to feel good about over the last 2 weeks, especially with Robert Woods. He had, you know, the 81 yards against the Raiders a couple weeks ago, and then four catches for 30 and another touchdown against the Colts this past week too. So Robert Woods starting to come on a little bit, but going to be another by committee approach, I think, coming up on Sunday against Washington as in terms of wide receivers. And we'll see if Josh Gordon is in their plans at all this week. I don't know if he will be or not, but I don't expect too much if he is.
That's time to get the ball to Cody Hollister.
You must
know, be. That's what I say. But I think Kyle Phillips is, you know, certainly part of the answer moving forward. If he can get healthier to the point where he can be out there more, and you know, I think we've already seen that Tannehill likes throwing to him, so that would certainly help. Yeah. Other than that, it's you know, they could always go out there, try to find somebody, but. I mean, I guess we can just go back to the Will Fuller talk, right? He's still out there? He's still out there somewhere?
I think so. I think he's still out and available out there. We'll see if that changes at any point. How much do you think the Titans are missing Elijah Molden right now?
Yeah, I think they're missing him for sure. I thought Elijah Molden, kind of like Rashad Weaver, but with more evidence to support it, was coming up on a, you know, on a step forward season. I think he got better last year. I like the pick. I think he's a good player. He's not a burner, but he's, I think he's a good player. Very physical in there. One, you know, the kind of nickel you can blitz with, and when you are playing against the run, he's versatile. I just think you put him out there, and then you have McCreary outside. I think that's your, I think right now by far your best group. They also need Ugo Amadi back. That's a big thing to watch this week.
Yeah, big thing for sure. And, you know, we'll see at some point, you know, if you get all those guys back, what does the rotation look like in the secondary? But, you know, they've been kind of going through it basically from the beginning of the year this year with no Molden being available. You've had to shift some things around. You know, it would be – I am – if and when it happens, I assume that their three at corner, you know, to start games with are going to be Fulton – on the outside, Molden on the inside, and McCreary on the outside as well. Just the way things look right now, I'd be really interested to see what that looks like and how strong that could be. I think it's got the chance to be very strong if you're the Titans, given the way that McCreary has played thus far and the way that Fulton, especially the last 2 weeks, has been outstanding. So, you know, cornerback has been kind of a weak spot for the Titans in terms of just that other guy on the outside. You've been surviving so far. It'd be nice if everybody could be healthy again to see what that trio could look like, because I think it could be pretty darn good for the Titans.
Yeah, well, that trio, and then with Hooker back in his spot.
Yeah.
And then imagine that with, you know, Bud Dupree and Ola Daney joining Rashad Weaver. I mean, and I don't know, you can keep going with it, like Zach Cunningham being healthy and playing well. Okay, yeah, put all that together and it sounds pretty good. But then the next my question is, okay, so what are the two or three or four injuries that we haven't anticipated yet that are hitting that group, you know?
You ever seen anything like this the last year and a half with this team? It's crazy.
No, I can't say I have. So we've gotten back to the, you know, the training staff stuff, which again, like I don't think there's anything there, but I mean, I do understand, like when they pile up like this, I mean, it's like, what in the world is going on? How could you have this much bad luck?
It's been crazy to watch with the Titans. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Mike from Clarksville on the text line says, with the exception of the Bills game, have you ever seen a team that comes out like the Titans do, dominates the first half, but then the second half they come out flat and doesn't even look like any kind of resemblance of the first half team? Also, what do they need to do to correct this trend that's happening currently? I was thinking about this yesterday, Joe, and I heard, you know, Jared and Caroline and D-Mace talking about this too on their show yesterday. Have you ever seen anything quite like what we've seen from the Titans at the NFL level through the first 4 weeks in terms of just the drastic difference from one half to the next?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything quite like that. I mean, certainly, you know, there have been teams where, you know, it's like they struggle in the second half or one half or the other. You got the opposite of this too sometimes, right? The slow start. I mean, the Colts have been an incredibly slow starting. They've fallen behind by at least 17 in every game.
Yeah,
and then they've had some huge second halves, you know, to come back. But no, I can't. I mean, again, a team that's 2-2 and in first place that has been outscored 64-7 in the second half. I mean, we need the Elias Sports Bureau on that. Like,
well, think about if Randy Bullock makes a kick. Randy Bullock makes a kick. They're 3-1.
So it's 64-10. And they're 3-1, right? So no, it's wild. And yeah, again, I think it's just one of those things that they just need a game where that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
and then you just kind of move on, and you know, and just because you don't want a tale of two halves every game like that. You know, you want to be able to mix in a nice drive like late third quarter just for the fun of it. You know, so because it's just. Like when the TV people come in this week, they're going to be asked about that stuff. They're going to talk about it on the broadcast. You know, I mean, it's just like, it's going to be a constant talking point until they make it not one.
Well, I've seen this in hockey. Like, you know, the Predators, I can't remember which year it was. There's one year in the second period, they were just terrible. And for whatever reason, you know, first period, they looked really good. Third period, their numbers were good. Second period, they were just awful. And it was one of those weird things that played out throughout the course of an 82-game season. Like, I don't recall an NFL team just being like, man, this team is an absolute juggernaut in the first half. The second half, they just totally fall apart. It's just a weird thing. It's only if like, I don't know if I'd call it a small sample size anymore in a 17-game NFL season, but it is only 4 games, so they've got some time to work out of it here, but it's been very weird thus far.
Yeah, and again, like, 3 of the 4 kind of follow the pattern,
right?
But I guess you're not necessarily pointing to that 41-7 loss as like, you know, as like a good thing in any way. So yeah, it's you know, it's got to be annoying for them, but again, they'll take where they are for sure. And you know, a chance if they got to 3-2 and then get a week off, given everything that's happened, including again the injuries, I think they would gladly sign up for that, considering, you know, where they were a couple weeks ago.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including some numbers that have been thrown out there that suggest that Derrick Henry is maybe right where he wants to be this time of the year. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock, getting her thoughts on all things college football. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about Derrick Henry thus far this season. Two games where not much in terms of production to begin the season, and two, I think, much better games the last two times that he's been out there against the Raiders and the Colts as well. And, Joe, there are some numbers that our friend David Beauclair from SI.com put together that suggest that maybe Derrick Henry is right where he wants to be. He's got 306 yards rushing through four games for the Titans, and that is pretty close to almost exactly where he was through 2019 and through 2020 at this point in the NFL season, where, of course, he won the rushing title in both of those years. He had 310 yards at this same point in 2019 and 319 yards in 2020. So, you know, he's within 20 yards both ways of where he was in 19 and 20. Now, the difference being this year, you look at the rest of the league, right now Derrick Henry is in 11th in rushing. He had 306 yards. Saquon Barkley at the top, Nick Chubb right below him as well. They both got over 450 yards rushing. So a little bit different from that standpoint, but the numbers pretty close to in line where Derrick Henry was this time of year in 2019 and 2020 as well. So with that in mind, what does that tell you about the start that Derrick Henry has had thus far? And if you're a Titans fan hearing that, does that make you feel better about Derrick Henry maybe getting ready to take off here as the Titans continue to go through their schedule beginning in Washington coming up this weekend?
Well, it's very interesting. You know, I think it's different situations. You know, that's one thing to keep in mind. I mean, again, the slow start in 19 to me was so much about the offensive line being a disaster. People could do this year and say, well, okay, well, what's the difference? Of course, that year you didn't have Lawan because he was suspended. Now this year you lose him. But like offensive guard was really bad at that point. You know, Nate Davis wasn't ready yet. Saffold was kind of struggling. So in 20, yeah, as Beauclair points out, you know, three games in 20. So it was 4 weeks, but they'd only played three games.
Yep.
I mean, look, I think Derrick Henry still in those years, even with the numbers, was peak Derrick Henry. I don't know that this is peak Derrick Henry, but I tell you what, the last 2 weeks, he looks a lot closer to it. So, and I do think that the November and December numbers, which Beauclair points out here again, 76 per game and 5.6 per carry in November, 96.7 per game and 5.5 per carry in December. I mean, what does that speak to? It speaks to, you know, as seasons go on, there's a lot more guys less interested in tackling him.
Yes.
I mean, they play, you know, of course, you're going to at times play teams that are just out of the playoff race that are just trying to get to the end. And you worn up, battered teams, worn out, battered teams, and he's obviously built to be healthy and in great shape for entire seasons, unless he has like a serious injury like last year. So that's where, I mean, I have no doubt that list of top rushers, he's going to start steadily climbing that list and get up near the top pretty soon. Would be my guess. And certainly the Titans need that to happen.
Well, we've talked about before the quote-unquote slow starts to the season for Derrick Henry and how, you know, it takes him a while to get going, but once he does, it's pretty hard to stop. I mean, you just brought up the numbers in November and December there. You know, this year, we talked about the first game against the Giants. I thought he looked average in that game. Obviously, the second game against Buffalo, I mean, they couldn't get anything going against the Bills. So I don't really know what to take away from that game. But we were asking the question coming off the injury at his age, with as much as he's gotten the ball over the last 3-4 years, has there been some decline? You know, we talked about the numbers in the offseason. Did there look like there was a decline coming for Derrick Henry? And the last couple of weeks, he's looked pretty good. So, you know, it's got me asking the question, like, were the first couple of weeks just kind of like traditional Derrick Henry, maybe starting a little bit slow, maybe a combination of the offensive line having problems, a bunch of different things. And now the last 2 weeks, you know, they've gotten him a little bit more involved in the passing game. He seems to have gotten going running the football as well, and he looks more like vintage Derrick Henry. Maybe he just is taking that traditional Derrick Henry route of being a little bit slower to begin seasons, and as the season goes on, he gets stronger and stronger. He certainly looks stronger and stronger the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and like you said, the second game, you know, remember, a blowout, but also in that game, you lose your left tackle.
Right.
So, so Dennis Daly didn't spend any of the week, right, like getting the reps with next to Aaron Brewer or preparing for that. So you're really in a bind if you lose someone in the middle of a game. And again, it is a blowout. Like that game is just completely flush, that one. I mean, look, in 2 weeks now with Daly, with the ones practicing, like it's your job, they've looked better. And like you said, I thought maybe the Raiders game was sort of like it's just a game plan thing against what the Raiders do. But I think you saw last week, like if teams are going to, it just makes sense to use that play action and then use him in the flat, you know, to get him the ball right after that at times and just get him some space. I mean, I think they keep doing that, throwing the ball to him. I know he dropped a couple last game, but he also caught a few, and any sort of space and opportunity for him to gain momentum is dangerous for the defense.
Well, he's still your best offensive weapon by a significant margin. So anytime you can get him the ball, especially getting him the ball with any sort of space, I mean, that's hard to do in the running game just because he occupies so much attention. So if they're going to give you some room in the passing game to give him the ball, I think it's a great idea. Now, again, still waiting on the Derrick Henry wheel route. Hadn't seen that yet. But, you know, if you get him out in space and, you know, he gets a head of steam going. I mean, there are a couple times on Sunday against Indy where, you know, he was able to kind of build up some of that speed. And you just feel bad for whoever's in the secondary stepping up trying to make a tackle at that point. He's still, you know, when he starts coming downhill on you, which we've seen a little bit more in the last couple of weeks, he's still just terrifying out there to try and tackle. And I think the Titans have been really smart to involve him the way they've done it the last couple of weeks.
Well, I agree. And look, if you can have a 14 carry, 99 yard first half in a packed stadium against what's supposed to be one of the better rushing defenses in the league, and just take it to them like that, I mean, I think that speaks well of what you might be doing moving forward. You know, I mean, how many teams coming up are just built to stop the run on the schedule? Washington is not. Allen's a good player, but they're not.
No, they're not. And you just had a big game against the Colts as well, so could be feeling pretty good if you're Derrick Henry. Moved ahead over the next couple of weeks. Got a text on the text line that says, man, the O-line was the problem the first two games. Daly worked out the next week. O-line was certainly a part of the problem. Now, look, everything was a problem against Buffalo. I mean, they didn't get anything going against Buffalo, but O-line was certainly a problem. Look, the O-line's not been perfect the last couple of weeks either, but to your point, Joe, it has been impressive with Dennis Daly getting all the reps over there at left tackle. You know, Nicholas Petitfrere settling in with each passing game. You know, I think Nate Davis has played pretty well for the most part, so that's been pretty good to see him come back and play that well this year as well. I mean, it certainly seems like the last couple of games, the offensive line in the running game is starting to settle in a little bit.
Yeah, and again, that's part of this too. That the slow starts, the I think there's different situations, you know, at play, for the most part. And I don't think this is like confined to the Titans either. I think offensive line play is just something that I feel like every year in the NFL, like in the first couple weeks, everybody's like, God, the offensive lines in this league are terrible. You know, I mean, that's one of those things that teams don't put them out there much in the preseason games, not playing.
There we go.
But you know, I do think that by and large, you see just better precision with offensive line play. And certainly with the Titans, we've seen that. They'd still rather have Taylor Lewan, but so far, yeah, I thought Dennis Daly, I mean, I know he got beat for the one sack the other day, but I think he's turning out to be a pretty clutch trade there right at the end of camp.
So is Derrick Henry on the right track to be among the NFL rushing leaders again this season? We'll take your thoughts on Derrick Henry, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
How good was it for you to get going your first 100-yard rushing season?
I don't care about that. We won. Happy we were able to make plays on offense and do what we need to do to get a W.
That was Derrick Henry after the game on Sunday against the Colts. Didn't care about that 100-yard game. Just happy that they won the game. It was interesting. He was, I don't know if salty is the right word, but didn't seem like Derrick Henry was overly thrilled in the post-game press conference the other day after the win in Indy. A little bit of an interesting mood there from Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him overjoyed. Now, yeah, again, sure he's happy with the win. I mean, sometimes it's just like, I think just annoyed to be at a press conference. You know?
Could be that.
So, I mean, that may be it. So, but yeah, obviously better situation for him leaving Lucas Oil than a year ago when they were concerned about that foot, and concerns ended up being validated.
So, Joe, there hasn't been one huge game yet from him in terms of just like the workload monster carry that we've seen, you know, getting into the 30s in terms of how many times he gets the ball. I mean, he was 21 carries against the Giants, 13 against Buffalo when he got taken out of the game, 20 carries against the Raiders, 22 carries against the Colts. Do you think the Titans may have found maybe the sweet spot for Derrick Henry and how to use him this year, or do you expect those numbers to go up as the season continues here and with the way that he's run the ball the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, you could look at that. If you just took those numbers before the season and showed somebody, they'd be like, oh, okay, so they're intentionally just trying to maybe ease his workload a little bit. But, I mean, if they didn't have all the three and outs the other day, I think he would have been close to 30. You know? Now, I suppose if they didn't and they got points, then at some point maybe you get separation and you can rest him more in the fourth quarter or something like that. But I just think that's just situational, and I'm sure that there's a 30 carry game coming at some point. I mean, shoot, if you're just adding up and you're thinking about it in terms of the cumulative carries, that 13 carry game in Buffalo brings the average down, you know. So so now you can feel fine, I guess, about throwing 35 on there one of these weeks. I just think it's just how it's been. But yeah, maybe there's something in there where they're like, you know what, he needs to not go past 25 if at all possible. I just think that would have happened the other day if their offense didn't just completely grind to a halt, 20 plays and 28 yards.
Well, and then you factor in, you know, the passing game too. You know, the Raiders game, 20 carries, but then he had 5 catches for 58 yards. So there's another 5 touches there, another 3 touches in the game against Indy. They threw it to him 5 times in that game, dropped a couple of them. So, you know, it's not like, you know, he makes every catch on Sunday. That's 27 touches for Derrick Henry instead of 22. So they're finding maybe some different ways to get in the ball. Like you said, though, in the last segment, I love what they've been doing with him in the passing game the last couple of weeks, and it's almost in a way kind of felt like an extension of the running game, whether it be the screen or just kind of that short choice route that he's running early in games here. I really like it. So and it's also a way, Joe, for him to not just – you talk about this in the first quarter or early in games – for him to just get sandblasted up there because everybody's just rearing to stop him early in games. Pretty good way to do that in the passing game is to give him a little bit more room out there and avoid those hits too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it should continue. And it just – we were sitting in the press box the other day, and it was like, man, they actually are embracing the screen to Derrick Henry again, which was basically like, I think in like 2020, at some point it was like, okay, like it never works anymore because these teams are just, you know, deathly afraid of it because of some of the huge ones he had in 2019. And so now it's kind of back in the playbook, which I think is a good thing. You got to do different things, you know, to sneak him out there. But like you said, just, yeah, that little choice right in the middle of the field, or just, you know, just go out in the flat and shoot, get 4 yards and punish one tackler. For tackling you out there, punish one defensive back or two, as opposed to get punished by four defensive linemen.
So has your view on Henry changed as the season has gone on? Still very early, still only 4 games in terms of, you know, we've talked about keeping an open mind to Derrick Henry and what he is this year. Has it changed significantly the last 2 games with how well he's played against the Raiders and the Colts in terms of how you view what he might be for the rest of this season?
Yeah, it's changed. The way he looks now looks more like I thought he looked in camp. And we talked about, you know, those first 2 weeks, it's like it was hard to decipher, but there were a few plays, I think, that he left on the field. And so then you wonder, did he leave it on the field because he just can't – that gear's not there? You know, we'll see if the home run's there, but I think everything but the home run was on display Sunday. And that's a great, and including the acceleration in the open field on the touchdown. I'm really on both touchdowns, one of which, you know, should or should not have counted. There was more talk about the holding call on Burks yesterday with Vrabel. So it's trending in a good direction, you know, and it's one of those things where if he's going to be able to stay healthy all year, he's built to be. He's built to be better off in November, December than a lot of guys in this league, right? So if he's going to avoid any kind of injury and just keep plugging away like this, again, I think he's just going to steadily, even if it's not the 60-yard touchdown as part of the 185-yard game, if it's 110, 120, you know, chipping away at defenses, that's good enough for the Titans to win, I think, a lot of football games.
We spent a lot of time talking about the tackles with Nicholas Petit-Frere and Dennis Daly. What do you make of the way the interior of the line has played so far this year through 4 games with Brewer, Ben Jones, and Nate Davis as well?
Well, I think pretty well. And I think, again, they're obviously a big part of the last 2 weeks too. Aaron Brewer, that was one thing you looked at Sunday was like, oh, Buckner out there with that length and that power. How are they going to deal with that? He's playing. Anytime you have – and there's other teams ahead where they have like the really big, powerful, long defensive tackle, you wonder about the matchup there in Brewer. I think he did pretty well. I think the last couple weeks he's done pretty well. I think he's kind of he's right now kind of showing why the Titans went there. I don't know that he's – again, I think his destiny is probably as Ben Jones' replacement at center down the road. You know, if he has a good year this year, then I think that strengthens the chance for that. I think that's where he's best is as a center. But I think he's holding up pretty well. And Ben Jones has not been having the thing where you're limping half the game around. Right now he's healthy. It's gotten better. You know, those three have gotten better. Now they know who they're working with at left tackle. And, you know, Petit-Frere had some issues, some rookie moments Sunday for sure.
Yep.
Against the Colts, against the pass rush. He also at times, you know, if you watch him in the run game, he at times can just obliterate people. So, you know, it's going to be some good and bad there. But I'd say that the trend is good.
Well, and, you know, Ben Jones, you know, I don't recall him like being all that hurt the last couple, 3 weeks either. Like, he's just been out there, and he's not been rolling around on the ground. He's just been out there and available. We know Ben Jones, that guy can play through a lot of stuff. We've seen him do it, but it kind of feels like he's pretty healthy, not even on the injury report. It's a good start to the season from Ben Jones that way.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, and honestly, it's been a while since there hasn't been something going on with him. So if he can avoid that stuff, obviously he's a very good player. He's one of the leaders of this team. He's been the centerpiece of that offensive line for a long time. I thought maybe last year was going to be it for him, but it's turning out to be really good for them that he came back, even if it, you know, hasn't worked out nearly the same at left tackle.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans throughout the show on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on a big weekend of college football this past weekend and look ahead to Tennessee and LSU coming up on Saturday, including Tennessee wearing some smoky gray uniforms, which I know Joe Rexroad is very excited about coming up this weekend as well. We'll get to that coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, and I want to know, can you beat Vegas this football season? Well, Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odd makers in Las Vegas. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at Superbook in Las Vegas. Listen, if you want to take a look to Sunday, we've got the Tennessee Titans versus the Washington Commanders. The Titans are favored by 2.5. I'm definitely going to lock that down. Titans minus 2.5. I'm going to take them on the money line. And also, if you want to do any player props, Derrick Henry over on rushing. And listen, an anytime touchdown by Robert Woods. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boost and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit Superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.